bringing you the latest research, tools, and common sense tips you need to get and stay healthy. It's Talk Healthy Today. Here's Lisa Davis.
Smoothies. I love smoothies. I still remember, it was so many years ago, having my first smoothie, and I thought this is such a great way to get our fruits and some spinach or other vegetables into our diet, and it tastes great, and it's easy to do, and it can be super fun and creative. So I am such a fan of smoothies. And one of my favorite people who is the blender girl is Tess Masters. In this wonderful world of clean eating and healthy eating, Tess is such a gem. She has a new book, The Perfect Blend, Gluten-Free and Vegan. 100 blender recipes to energize and revitalize. So we're going beyond smoothies, which is so cool. Hello, Tess.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
It's so nice to have you on the show. I remember interviewing you years ago with your Blender Girl book, which was so fantastic and gave me so many smoothie ideas. And now I'm so thrilled about this because you actually have salads. You even have nachos in here, which, oh my gosh, looks so amazing because you've got that. It's better with cheese sauce, and it's you've got, that's the C-H-E-E-Z. You've got those wonderful spiralized vegetables, and you've got beets, which are all the rage and so good for you. No fry falafels and more. So Tess, for people who haven't heard of you, you've been living under a rock, tell us about yourself and when you and how you became the blender girl.
Well, I grew up on a very conventional meat and three veg diet. I was an omnivore, and then I got diagnosed with Epstein-Barr virus when I was a teenager, and so my parents took me to a naturopath, and he suggested that I give up gluten and dairy and eat less meat and, you know, more fish and more vegetables and things like that. And within about 2 days, I felt incredibly healthy and so much better. And I had so much more energy. And so that was really the impetus into a revolution into the way that I ate. So then I started researching different diets and became pretty obsessed with health and nutrition. And I was macrobiotic for 10 years. And I was a raw foodist and vegan and paleo. And, oh, it was just, you know, kind of exhausting looking for this perfect diet. And when I sort of embraced the concept of bioindividuality, that one blanket diet won't work for everybody, my entire world opened up. So there's so much conflicting information about health and nutrition out there. It can sometimes be very challenging and confusing to know what to do. So, but the one thing that everybody agrees on is that vegetables are good for us, and that we need to eat as many vegetables as possible, particularly non-starchy vegetables and leafy greens. So with that in mind, when I went to start, you know, a website sharing recipes with my family and friends, I was looking at my blender and thinking about all the different things that I use my blender for beyond smoothies, you know, like homemade salad dressings and sauces and cleaning products and skincare and nachos, like you said, and sauces and all kinds of stuff. And so the more I started researching blending as a method of food prep, it very quickly became a metaphor for how I live my life and how I think we all live our life. You know, we like to blend different notes and flavors, philosophies, cultures, work, loving relationships, and so forth to find our perfect blend or our perfect pie, or, you know, people sort of coin that in a lot of ways. So I started asking people, what's your perfect blend? And one email a week turned into five, turned into 5,000, turned into 10,000, and here we are. And so it's really, you know, I am gluten-free and vegan. That works for me and my lifestyle, but it's not a prescription for everybody. So really, my cookbooks and my website and my smoothies app and so forth, it's really just about helping people include more vegetables in their lifestyle in the easiest and most fun way possible, and in the most delicious way. So that's really what everything I do is about, is just showing people how vegetables can taste delicious and how they can be super easy to prepare, and how you put a lot of things, you know, into the blender to create some really incredible flavors while you're, you know, no matter how you're eating. So most [S2] Yes. [S1] Of the people that come to me are actually omnivores, and people that have been told they need to eat more healthily, or they've tasted, you know, something of mine at a dinner party, or they've bought my book or whatever. And then they sort of start to realize that this way of eating is actually really, really yummy. And so that's kind of sort of how it all got started. And then obviously I signed a multi-book deal with Random House. So we have three books and an app in the Blender Girl series, The Blender Girl, The Blender Girl Smoothies, and The Perfect Blend. And so, it's a very gentle approach to healthy living. You know, I'm not very big on extreme behavior or dogmatically following certain things and being preachy. And I think that, you know, we're all very different, and so our needs are different. And so it's just about being gentle with ourselves and just kind of making small changes towards big shifts. And I think that that's why the brand's gotten so big and why it resonates with so many people, because it doesn't have to be all or nothing. It's not one thing or another. It's not exclusionary, you know. Anybody can make these recipes with very little skills or even less time.
Well, you know, it's so funny that you use the word gentle, because I was going to bring up the gentle lentils. My daughter and I are huge lentil fans, and I made this, and it was so good, and it was super easy. And I think it's so nice.
I think
when you, right?
Really,
and my 12-year-old loved it.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's so funny that that your daughter is 12, because I actually find that that's the sweet spot when you really start to really get interested in cooking, and you can really nourish yourself and make things for yourself. So I have 55 recipe testers testing all over the world using a bunch of different blenders, everything from a $60 blender to, you know, a high-speed blender and everything in between. And I have two 12-year-old recipe testers. So if a 12-year-old can't make the recipe and follow it, and sometimes with adult supervision and assistance, it doesn't make it into the book. So I find that, you know, again, a lot of people that come to me are children and teenagers, you know, and certainly mums and dads who have got picky eaters and they want to cram more vegetables, you know, into their kids, and they want to get their kids excited about healthy food. And so, yeah, I'm glad you enjoyed it. That's actually one of my favorites. And it's such a great tip for how you turn a simple soup into something spectacular. So the gentle lentils is a very, very simple, easy lentil soup, and then you make a pistou that you dollop into the bottom of the bowl. So that's a French thing. They've been doing it in France for eons, and it's such a great idea, you know. So I think the book is, you know, it is also about, you know, using these recipes to gain more skills in the kitchen and quick, easy tips and tricks for how you can make vegetables taste delicious. And so really pistou is just pesto, you know, so it's a pesto. So if you've got, you know, leftover vegetables in the fridge and the crisper, and they're looking pretty pathetic, you know, you just throw it into your pot and make a very simple soup with some vegetable broth or something. And then, you know, it can be quite bland unless you add a lot of herbs and spices and things like that. But adding like a dollop or, you know, a tablespoon or two of pesto into the bottom is just delicious.
Oh, that sounds so good. You know, one of the things I love about the book, not only are the recipes fantastic, but you have them divided up by different topics. So you've got energy, immunity, detox, protein, weight loss, anti-inflammatory, fabulous fats, and more. What was it like doing that? Because, I mean, that puts so much more work into it, right? To figure out which foods go in which category, which foods are anti-inflammatory, et cetera.
Yeah.
That's a labor of love.
Right. Yeah. So the first book, The Blender Girl, the recipes were just, you know, pretty traditionally categorized. So it was, you know, smoothies, tonics, appetizers and snacks, salads, soups, main meals, desserts and condiments. With the second book, it was all smoothies, but we had three optional boosters. So you could choose to add one, two or all three boosters. So I want with the third book, with The Perfect Blend, I wanted to merge those two concepts from the first two books. So all of the recipes have three optional boosters. But the other thing that kept happening was we were getting thousands of emails from people saying, well, I'd like some recipes because I want to include more protein, or I want recipes for detox. I want recipes to gain more energy. I want things for immunity. I want things that are low carb. I want things for weight loss and so forth. And so I thought, you know what? The next book just can't be Blender Girl 2, you know, or Blender Girl 3. It has to be value added. We have to continue the journey and put more skills, you know, into people's toolboxes. And so that's when I just decided, you know, I'm going to start with a master list of foods that I think can keep anyone in optimal health. So the book opens with a master chart. And then it's got, you know, it's broken up into 12 chapters. So it's energy, immunity, detox, protein, weight loss, inflammation, fabulous fats, low carb, alkaline forming, probiotic promoting, well combined, and then feed the soul, which is just fun. So within those chapters, there's a soup, a tonic, an appetizer or snack, a soup, a salad, a main meal, and a dessert, and a condiment within those chapters. But we know that foods don't just do one thing. So there's a lot of crossover. So that's where the master chart is really helpful, where you can find out exactly what almonds do for you. They're alkaline forming, but they're full of protein. They're anti-inflammatory. They're a healthy fat. You know, they're good for detox. So almonds are good for a lot of different things. But, you know, I had to tag them to one specific thing just to put them somewhere in the book. So each chapter has a double page opener where I give it, you know, just a brief paragraph on each food, why it's good for you, and how to prepare it, and some tips and tricks for how to get the most out of it and how to blend them together for amazing textures and taste. And so You know, it's interesting. People absolutely love this, but every once in a while there's someone who writes to me and says, I'd really just like all the soups to be together, all the salads to be together. You know, so it's just hilarious.
Yeah.
You can't please everybody, you know. But I, you know, to answer your question, it was quite challenging because unlike just deciding you're going to just make this soup and this soup and this soup and throw them in a soup chapter, this food had to be highly functional and also geared towards flexibility. So, you know, it was actually like a Tetris puzzle. I had this huge chart and all these, you know, cards, these little index cards on the wall of my office. And I had to keep moving the recipes around to make sure that I had not only diversity, but that they were correctly categorized. And then once I sent the recipes off for nutritional analysis, I need to make sure that they actually really did deliver on what I thought they were going to. So, you know, at times I kind of went, oh, why did I decide to do that? You know, it was quite a challenge. But, you know, it was actually quite fun, you know, to really make this work. And then, you know, doing three optional boosters for smoothies is one thing, but doing three optional boosters that work separately and or together for textured dishes and all kinds of dishes, it's just a whole other, you know, can of worms. Whether, you know, I test my recipes very extensively. They're all tested between 50 and 100 times before they go into my book because I want to make sure they 100% work for everybody. But then you got to test them three times that amount because you've got to test them with every single booster. Then you've got to test them with any combination of two of them, then, you know, and then all three. And, you know, it was quite the task. But I think that, you know, it was a great way to end the series. So I'm just really, really happy with the way it turned out. And I think it's, you know, getting so many emails from people who've bought the book since December and are using it to lose weight or using it to get more protein or to calm inflammation or whatever. It's just really great for them to have that blueprint, you know, and just have, you know, an entire menu of things that they can choose from. So, it was fun in the end. But at times, yeah, I wanted to go, oh, yeah. Tess, why did you do that?
Well, Tess, I'm glad you did that because you did such a phenomenal job. Now, lately, I've been on this cilantro kick. I've been putting it in salads. Uh-huh. You know, I think people think cilantro is just for Mexican food, but I put it on my salad with beets and tomatoes and carrots and bell peppers, and I make this huge salad for me and my daughter, and she just loves it. One of the things that I want to make, and I'm excited, it's the next thing I'm going to make from your book, is the Avocado Avenger because you've got this great chimichurri sauce, and you also have the optional boosters of the shaved zucchini ribbons, or you can get the seeded and finely diced watermelon, or you can have the raw sprouted watermelon seed. So those are some examples of your boosters. But this picture, I just want to eat it. I mean, I could just eat this.
Look, I'm so lucky. I work with such a brilliant photography team, and Random
fantastic.
House is incredibly generous to let me art direct all of my books, you know, to sort of bring this vision to life. But yeah, that's a favorite because it's such a simple avocado salad just with raw vegetables and fruit. But it's so incredibly good and delicious. And chimichurri is just such a lovely thing, you know, because it's so versatile and you can put it on so many things. You know, if you're a meat eater, you can put it on meat or fish or chicken or whatever, you know, and it also works so well with vegetables and particularly, you know, buttery vegetables, fruits like avocado and so forth. And the watermelon seeds are an interesting one. We're going to see that heavily trend in the next year or so.
They're
just so full of protein. Yeah. And for those of you who haven't tried a watermelon seed, you can buy them at Whole Foods or online at Amazon from a company called Go Raw. They're sprouted watermelon seeds and they're tossed with sea salt. And it's the taste is a cross between a cashew and a sunflower seed. So they're very, very buttery and delicious. They're white. They're not black as you would expect. And they're just so incredibly tasty. Everybody I give them to just completely freaks out and goes, oh, I could just eat those all day, every day. So that's a really great healthy snack. And it's a really great garnish for soups and salads and a great snack. And they're just loaded with protein and minerals. So it's a really big one. They're not available everywhere yet. And it's also a niche food. So I really wanted to make the boosters the niche food. So you don't need to go to a health food store or spend a ton of money to make these recipes. The base recipe is just as delicious. But if you want to boot things up, you know, ramp things up with flavor and or nutrition, you can add all those boosters. But yeah, that salad's it's just a really great sort of 15-minute dish that just sort of comes together and makes you look like a gourmet chef. And I mean, I think that's what a lot of these recipes are for. You know, they're very, very simple, but they're just packed with flavor. So for me, you know, food just has to be delicious, and particularly healthy food. Healthy food really needs to be even more delicious than all the fatty fried stuff that we love, because otherwise it's just not going to stick. You want to be able to crave these things and not feel like you're missing out on things, you know. So I think in this book, more so than my other books, I really added a lot of the comfort foods and just a healthier spin on those things, like mac and cheese, a much healthier pizza, you know, and things like that, just to sort of give people some healthier alternatives, because we all love that food. Even I love that food, you know. So I did sort of put a lot more comfort food in this book than I had done in previous books. But it's just food has to look good, because we take the first bite with our eyes. And, you know, you want to get excited when you see something. So it's when you look at that salad, like you said, and you got excited, you just want to dive into it. That's how I want people to feel about vegetables. You know, that whatever else you're eating, just try incorporating some of these vegetables into your diet, and they really can be yummy. And secondly, it has to be functional. It has to be nutrient dense. And thirdly, it just has to be mind-blowing in flavor. So when I'm creating dishes, you know, often they've just sort of got one note when I taste food. You know, it's sweet or it's spicy or it's savory. But I want to go on a flavorful and textural journey. I want to just have a firecracker in my mouth. So I want it to hit me on the front end, expand across the palate, and have an amazing back end kick. And I think that that's what's different about these recipes, is that they really are very, very full in flavor. And, you know, I think it's my favorite email to get every day is an email from someone saying, I did not know the cauliflower could taste like that, you know, or I was surprised by such and such a dish, or, you know, I've been making this and then now I'm adding this and this, and I realized, you know, because I followed your smoothie and I noticed that you put strawberries and red bell pepper together, then I did that, and then I added this because I made the other recipe with the cayenne. And, you know, it's about using the recipes to gain skills so that you can go off and create your own amazing blends. And I think that that's what gives me joy more than anything, is, you know, really giving people the skills to go and create their own stuff. And you really can do that when you cook in and around the blender. Unlike other more traditional methods of food prep, like baking, for example, where if you don't add enough acid or you've got the wrong ratio of flours, you know, it's got a crappy crumb, it doesn't rise, it doesn't set, whatever. With cooking in and around the blender, you very rarely got a point of no return. So I think that it really levels the playing field in the kitchen and allows, you know, novice cooks to get more bold and you know, you just can't mess things up, you know, because you can always rescue a seemingly undrinkable or uneatable concoction with some herbs or some spices or a little bit of sweetener or an apple or, you know, I mean, I think that's what's great about this stuff. You just tweak and taste and blend and taste until you get it just right.
Exactly.
And you can do that with these dishes.
You can. You know, I have to say, one of my favorite things from when I was a kid was chocolate pudding. I mean, I could literally jump into a vat of it. And on my husband's, our wedding anniversary last year, he knows I love pudding, but I never eat it, like the regular with the milk. But he got some from Whole Foods. It was insane, but it was milk-based, and it, you know, and I usually don't eat dairy. But I was like back in heaven and back as a kid, and I'm like, I've got to find a chocolate pudding. So before I let you go today, I want you to tell me about your life-changing chocolate pudding, because I'm ready to have my life change this pudding. I'm such a pudding fanatic.
Yeah,
you never eat it.
You know, that's a big one. So again, this recipe, I kind of hesitated calling it the life-changing chocolate pudding. It's a big call, right? But I thought, no, you know what? It actually is. And I tell you why it is. Like, it's delicious. But the reason why it's life-changing is that it's completely sugar-free. And sugar-free is a term that gets bandied around these days to mean it's got agave or maple syrup or coconut sugar or dates or some other form of sweetener, which is still sugar, albeit a more whole form of sugar, but it's still sugar and it still alters blood sugar levels. So I wanted to create a really decadent chocolate pudding that did not contain anything that altered blood sugar levels. So I got this trick from a dear friend of mine called Joy from, they run a website called The Jing Slingers, and she makes the most incredible, truly sugar-free, diabetic-friendly cakes and desserts I've ever had in my entire life. So she, you know, she bakes for massive celebrities in Hollywood, and I had tasted a cake of hers at a party, and then she catered a party for me, and her stuff was so incredible. I had 250 people at the party, and not one single person knew that it was sugar-free. All they kept saying was, that is the most incredible chocolate cake I've ever had in my life. So I went over to her house and she taught me this trick, which I'm going to now share with you. So it's Burt's xylitol. So xylitol has gotten a bad name because most of it's corn-derived, and we associate it with this very cooling, disgusting flavor of sugar-free gum, right? Now, it can be that way, but Burt's xylitol from wood trees is actually quite health-promoting. And then stevia, which is a herb, truly whole-form stevia, that doesn't alter blood sugar levels either. But when you use those two sweeteners separately, you can get a really funky, bitter aftertaste. It's just a bit gross. However, when you combine those sweeteners in exactly the right ratios, you get absolutely no bitter aftertaste flavor. And it tastes just like
huge. That is life-changing.
Pudding. So it truly, truly is. And I can't tell you, you know, my partner, Scott, he's a very serious diabetic, very insulin dependent. Excuse me. And he also had thyroid cancer a few years ago. So he went on a very, very strict alkaline sort of anti-cancer. I hate to use that term really, but very, very strict health promoting diet. And he is now cancer free. And so he did have surgery as well, but we did, you know, alternative and conventional treatments. And we saw naturopaths in conjunction with regular mainstream doctors and oncologists and so forth. But he was on this very, very restrictive diet, and the thing that cancer loves the most is sugar. And so, and acid. So, which sugar creates acid, right? So, this pudding was truly a lifesaver for me because he could have something sweet, but it didn't alter blood sugar levels and didn't feed cancer. And the base is made of coconut meat. So, you could also use a base of avocado and cacao powder and, you know, a little bit of almond butter and all those sorts of things. You can make this chocolate pudding that really does taste like a regular mainstream chocolate mousse, but it has absolutely no sugar. So, it truly, truly is life-changing. And I've gotten hundreds and hundreds of emails about it since this book came out because people are just going, oh, I was a little skeptical, but I tried, you know, about 50 of your other recipes and they were all amazing. So I thought, you know what, we're going to give it a go. And they said, we could not believe it. So, so definitely, you know, try that because it's
I am making that, Tess. I am making that. I'm going to send you an email to tell you how great it is. I could talk to you forever, but I have to let you go. You are so fantastic. Tess, tell us all the ways we can find you.
Oh, you're so lovely. It's always so lovely to talk to you. You can find me at theblendergirl.com, and I am at theblendergirl everywhere in social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, Google+, Periscope, Snapchat, and everything. And I answer every single email I receive, and we answer every single comment or whatever on Facebook. So join the Facebook community because everybody really learns from each other and posts comments, and we post a lot of health information, tons of delicious recipes, and I do about 3 Facebook Lives a week. So you can ask me questions in real time.
That's great.
But thank you so much for having me. It's so lovely to talk to you.
Oh, Tess, I love having you on. I want to thank everyone for listening to Talk Healthy Today. Please go to iTunes and subscribe, rate, and review. It really helps the show. And I can't wait to make that life-changing chocolate pudding, everyone. Until next time, stay well. I will. Oh, that's great.